I want to thank you for being here. But more than that, I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ that He's here today. How many of y'all glad that Jesus is here today? Yeah. And you know what? He's the same Jesus He was last week. And we'll be next week. And you and I get to be a part of God's movement. And I, you know, a lot of us come to church and go, hey, I'm in church. Some of us have come to church so much we don't even know what it means anymore. It's not about coming to church. It's about celebrating that we're in Christ. And so I pray that these attitudes get out of you, okay? If you're a guest here today, guess what? We really want you to meet Jesus. How many of y'all are madly in love with Jesus Christ? You've fallen in love with Him. And today, I want you to know you've got to embrace this. You and I worship a God of mercy. We worship a God of mercy. In fact, He even says things like this. Mercy over justice. Mercy. That we might be made better. And so I want you to know right off the bat, because God is graceful, every person in here has hope. Because Jesus will forgive, all of us have a possibility of being connected to heaven, no matter what you've been into. Blows your mind. Now, today's going to be a real challenging message because guess what? God wants us to embrace mercy. And we don't like it, do we? Because we want what? How many of y'all want your way? Ultimately, you want your way. Come on, how many of y'all want your way? Other than me, does anybody else want their way? At your house, what way do you want? That's why we have conflict at the house. You know, you get married, a husband wants what? And a wife wants what? Now, come on, isn't that true? And then you think, well, we're going to have these beautiful children. And they enter into the house, and what do they want? And then you have holiday together, and you bring in other parts of your family, and they all come together, and they get in a big house together, and what does everybody want? And sometimes there's what? A little conflict can occur from this situation, right? And so God wants mercy. God wants us to understand mercy. So I want to pray today. There are some of you that were brought here today so that you can hear about the mercy of God in your life today. And I'm excited about that because we're going to have some people today that finally wake up and say, you know what? I really do need to have all my sin forgiven. I need to be connected with Jesus Christ so that I can go on and have a destiny that lasts forever. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? I preach about it every Sunday. You know why I preach about it every Sunday? You really want me to tell you? Because I go to the funeral home every week. That's real in my life. If you ask me, do people die? I have to tell you, every week. And we die of all kinds of different things, but guess what I know about humans? All of us will die. That's the reality. Now the question is, how many of us will choose in Jesus Christ to live? That's a different question, isn't it? Because in Christ, we live on. We live now, and we live what? On. How many of y'all glad you live on? You live on. All right. We're going to come to some conclusions today. All right, let's pray together. Lord, open our minds, our hearts. Open us up to Your gospel, Lord, that we might truly receive You, our sins be forgiven. And we live a different way. And so, Lord, help us today. For those of us that are more demanding than we are merciful, let us evaluate that today. Father, for those of us that seek more our understanding of justice than we do Your mercy to the world, help us today. And, Lord, I ask this prayer among those of us that follow Jesus. May we be more graceful and less judgmental. Amen. How many of y'all need a little bit of that prayer? More graceful and less what? How many of y'all pretty judgmental? Did any of you girls say that? I can't believe she wore that to church. Did any of y'all have that thought today? How many of y'all look at somebody and say, well, I don't know if they're going to make it. I want to start here today. Let God be God. If you don't mind this, if you just look over to your neighbor and go like this, just so they'll understand, I'm not God. Go ahead. Come on. Pass that around. I'm not God. Tell the person next to you that you're not God. Go ahead. Come on, fess it. Look, it's even hard for it to come out of your mouth. Tell them you are not God. Don, in case you may need to go like this, and you're not either. Now, that sounds humorous, man, but I'm telling you that's where it all starts, because I'm going to tell you what. You and I try to get into God's business. More than once, we try to be who?
God.
This is a frustrating thing. How many of you parents have ever tried to be God to your children? There's a disaster. Listen, if you're going to parent in a godly way, guess what? This ought to be your heartbeat for your children. I want my child to be everything God's made him to be. And if that's not what I want them to be, praise be to God. Parents mess kids up when they try to make them like themselves. If you're messed up, you do not need to pass that on. Let God redeem it. Okay, now we're going to talk about this today, all right? Let's get the attitude. It's the attitude. How many of y'all are understanding? If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, it's more about a relationship of attitude than it is regulation and rules. I apologize on behalf of the church for many years. The church has been taught more about rules than it has about relationship and heart. Or at least that was my experience growing up. There was a list that made you holy. You know, haircuts. Don't wear shorts. Don't smoke unless it's Marlboros. No, they didn't say that. I used to always laugh about that smoking clause they had in a Kentucky church for sure, because all the deacons would be out back in between Sunday school and church, and they'd have them a little, you know, it looked like a holy sacrifice out there, you know, and it'd always be the deacons. And then the preacher would say something about smoking, but he never said anything about smoking to the guy that tithed the lot. And I never saw him turn down any of that tobacco money. See what I'm saying? It's not about these rules and regulations. What is it about? It's about relationship. And you know how many people have a shallow life because they're making it about rules and regulations? I tell you what's breaking my heart right now. We got a wave of young pastors. They think they can determine who's saved or not. How blasphemous is that? Now, where does that come? It comes after a society becomes so self-absorbed for so long that we think we can make an eternal call. If you're going to be here at Hillview, Pastor Steve will never call judgment. I won't call it at a funeral, and I won't call it, because I'm very aware of this. I'm not God. So here's what I tell you. This is how you get connected. And I got good news today. God wants to save people. How many of y'all are excited about that? And I think you need to be excited about that. And I'm going to stay on that. I did an article the other day where I was interviewed for an article the other day, and it cracked me up. The lady that was interviewing, she thought I was kind of really crazy. I've had that experience before. And she says, well, Pastor Ayers, in this Hillview, I said, honey, I preach the cross and resurrection every moment of my life. And she goes, well, don't people get tired of hearing that? I said, church people do, but not the saved. I said, I've never grown weary of what saved me. And she goes, why do you think people get tired of hearing that message? I said, because what they think that is a secondary message and not the primary message of God's mercy. The primary message of God is, I've come to change your life. My name is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way you will be permanently changed. How can you get tired of hearing about that? We got a God that loves us enough that he wanted to change us. So today, I'm going to ask you, challenge you, plead with you, hopefully provoke you to live in the mercy of God. How many of you glad to know that your sin is forgiven? Now let's start there. Well, how did our sin become forgiven? God must be what? Merciful. How many of y'all watch this? I hear a lot about this. Lord have mercy. I'm so tired of hearing about social justice. You know why it never occurs? Because none of us can be just. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you have just gotten married. Some of you have been married a long time. How many of y'all have even been nice in your marriage relationship so you can get what you want? Yeah. I remember one time I read some books, one of these books, you know, How to Be a Better Husband. And in the book it said, occasionally surprise your wife with flowers. Now, I never was big on flowers because I hated buying stuff. It died 2 days later. You know what I mean? I just had flowers never. But apparently women like dead plants, okay? I don't know why. They just do. Well, one time, I'm trying to get better, trying to be a better husband. I bring Elizabeth a couple of flowers, you know, for no occasion. Now, John, it didn't say like Valentine's and days you're supposed to do it didn't count. It's supposed to be a surprise. So I bring her these flowers. You know what she asked me? First of all, she asked me what I'd done. And then secondly, she asked me what I wanted. Because guess what? She knew that as we lived together, even sometimes when we're nice to each other and kind to each other and wonderful to each other, we still in our heart do that for what we what? Want. Even when we're doing justice, it's still about what? What we want. Sometimes even when we're involved in humanitarian acts, it's to show the world how good we are. You know what mercy does? Mercy says, I'm going to make things better because I'm going to make things better. Mercy. That people would be better. I'm going to give you three things. First of all, you got to realize we're not God. Today, we got to run that back. I'm not God. I'm not God. How many of y'all glad to know God knows more than we do? Come on, we got to get a picture of God. How many of y'all believe that? God knows more than we do. God knows more than we do. And here's why. You can't get to this beatitude till you get to some things. Blessed are those who poor in spirit. Who are those? Every one of us. If you notice, how many of y'all are making this connection? Jeepers. God put these beatitudes in order. Because he's a God of what? Order and mercy. Number two, we need to be sorrowful for our sin. And see, we're not a sorrowful people anymore. Have you noticed? Every time a human makes a mistake today, what do we have? Thank you. Is that all right? We got an excuse. Have you heard anybody say this lately? I made a bad decision and was wrong. When's the last time you heard that? No, we do it like this. Well, now, I might have been wrong, but it was because of so-and-so who said such-and-such, and I believe them and embrace them. I work with kids during the week. Kids blow me away today. I'm old school. I cannot imagine in my day and age saying what young people say to people in authority today. Now, here's the reason. They had mercy on our rear ends back on the old days. And what looked like punishment was really mercy. They were willing to discipline us at the moment so we wouldn't self-destruct later on. Now today, with all of our political correctness, we have overlooked, let me tell you what we're doing in this society. We overlook later on disasters and then are surprised when they occur. I was in the airport a few weeks ago, another country, and it's interesting. I just like to look at stuff. Cigarettes in other countries. Y'all have ever seen cigarettes in other countries? You know, like our warning label on cigarettes says, warning, the Attorney General has determined this may harm you. Sounds nice, right? In other countries, they got a big skull and crossbone over a carton of cigarettes, and it says, this will kill you! And you know what people do? Let me have another one. Now, let me ask you a question. Which one is more merciful? Number two. At least you don't have an excuse, do you? But you see, you and I want to make an excuse. Now, listen, we all do stupid things. Why do we do stupid things? Come on, how many of y'all have done a stupid human trick at least once so far? All you players can get your hands up. I've seen you all do stupid human tricks, okay? Huh? Steve, you ever done a stupid human trick? I've done a stupid human trick. But Miller, I don't even have to ask you. You're a UK fan. All y'all have done a stupid human trick. Huh? You burned couches when you won the national championship. Why? Y'all hate furniture or something? What's up with this? You know, like Clacy, my daughter's a big UK fan. And I said, Clacy, why would you burn a couch after you won? She goes, I don't know. They just started burning couches. I said, that sounds like a stupid human trick. We all got them. We've all done them. Now, we're going to have to learn how to say I'm sorry instead of an excuse for why we are. We got to be meek enough and not so pretentious that we pretend we know everything. How many of you realize we don't know everything? Well, let me tell you what seasoned wisdom is. Some of you all have wisdom. Those of you that are a little more seasoned, okay, let's say over 40, you're a little more seasoned. Some of you who, Earl, son, you're not seasoned, you're barbecued. No, I mean, this is amazing. Sheriff Earl, I mean, I sit here and preach in the 21st century, and there's a guy in our congregation who flew bombers over London. Wow. No, Berlin, excuse me. Okay, not the English, the Germans, okay? flew a bomber over Berlin in World War II. Crazy. Watch this. Crazy life. Fought World War II, luckily, and I asked Earl one time, let me tell you how risky this was. I said, Earl, did you feel the presence of God up there? He said, yeah, I wasn't saved. I said, you were in an airplane with bombs in it and people shooting at you and you didn't know Jesus Christ? He said, no, I wasn't real brilliant at that moment. Thank God. And I looked at Earl, remember I told you this. I said, God was saving you before you realized he saved you. And he's still here today. He's been married for a long time and still happy. Even with all this information, do you know enough to be God? No. See, mercy starts when we finally get confessional. Second confessional. First confessional, I'm not God. Second confessional, I don't know it all. Now hold on, I'm telling you, it's killing people. How many of y'all think you know it all? You know what I know? What little I've experienced of life. But we're very arrogant. We think we know it all. I mean, we really do. We think we know everything. And this causes us to be unmerciful. Because how many of you all want to put your life in somebody else's life? That's not what God's called us to do. God's called us to put his life in what? Yeah. Make sense? May Jesus be in you. You don't want Steve Ayers in you. That's a lot of problems. But Jesus is a lot of what? Mercy. So we got to realize we've done some things wrong. We got to be teachable. You know what? We got to hunger and thirst for righteousness because we will be filled. But today, guess what we got to learn to do? Blessed are the what? Merciful. For they will be shown what? I'm going to tell you, Jesus is very serious about this. You better listen up. He said, you'll be judged in the way you judge. He says, By what measure you judge, you will be judged. Now, most judgmental people I know, this has just been my finding. Sheriff, you're in the judgment business, wouldn't you agree? I mean, to be sheriff, especially to be like a national sheriff, you got to be in the judgment business. But here's what I find, not you, but others. I have found that self-righteous, judgmental people never live up to the standard they impose on others. It's kind of this situation. I'm always bothered when an overweight doctor's telling me to lose weight. I'm like, why don't you go lose some weight? Make sense? But our job is not to judge, but to be merciful. To show what? Mercy. So let me show you how this works. We ought to want people to get better. How many of y'all want people to get better? That ought to be your heartbeat. That's my heartbeat. And if you're going to hang out at this church, there's two heartbeats you're going to hear all the time. We want people to meet Jesus. Why? So you can live on. We want you to be saved. Why? Because I'm telling you, you've been conned. You're not good enough to get to heaven on your own. But a lot of people think they are. Some of y'all will be going, well, Pastor Dave, I've never had a drink. Well, good. That means you're going to hell alcohol free. That's all that means. But they say it so prideful, you know what I mean? I have people come to me, well, I will tell you, Pastor, these lips have never touched alcohol. And? I remember the Southern Baptist Convention. If you had a drink, you couldn't serve on a committee. The guy called me and he said, what do you think about that, Ayers? I said, not that Jesus has been on any of our committees in years. We just kicked him out. You see, we'd rather have rules and judgments than a relationship of mercy that does a lot better than rules and judgment. The merciful God. The God that says, I'm here to save you of your sin and to give you a new life. Look at this. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown what? Mercy. How many of y'all need to show mercy? It's important. Because guess what? You're going to be judged like you what? Judge. Now, I just want us to get, we ought to judge people. I hope you get better. How many of y'all want to put that kind of judgment on you? I hope you get what? Now, let's just see how this works. If you happen to be married, are you going to have mercy to keep that marriage together? Yes. How many of y'all have even been married to somebody, you actually married somebody you liked and even love, and they still aggravate you? Yeah. Part of marriage. You're going to get aggravated. I don't know why people lie about this. If you come to Hillview, I'm going to tell you the truth about marriage. If you think you're going to like everybody every day, somebody's either smoking dope or they're lying to you. There's just going to be some days that are difficult. That's why we have Jesus. That we might be merciful to one another, praying to God that what? We will be better and we will help each other get what? Better. It's a driver in the kingdom of God. Makes sense? Blessed are the merciful. They will be shown what? How merciful are you? See, our message needs to change. Our message needs to be Jesus' message. Our message is not this. Our message is not you're going to hell. That's not Jesus' message. Jesus' message is you don't have to go to hell. And what's the key ingredient to mercy? Forgiveness. You want to live well with people, learn how to what? Forgive. How many of y'all are good at forgiving? Okay, four or five of you. Okay, let's go over some human experiences. How many of y'all have had somebody do you wrong so far in your journey of life? Sound like a country song, doesn't it? Somebody has done me wrong. Guess what's going to happen if you continue to live? Somebody else will do you wrong. How many of y'all have had a business deal? Person didn't honor their word. It's going to happen. How many of y'all have heard a leader lie before? That doesn't take long. The debates will be tomorrow. Listen, we live in a country, we try and figure out who lies the best. Why do politicians have to lie? There's only one reason they lie. Because we don't want to hear the truth. What if I was a politician and I said this? We're in big trouble. We spent more money than we had. We're in a national disaster. We're going to have to cut back and give more. You know, Elizabeth wouldn't even vote for me. But that's what? Yeah, so we don't want to hear the truth. We want to live in a fantasy. We want to think that we can do something. Mercy brings us to the truth, and the truth shall set us free. I want to take you to Matthew 18. A very crucial question. Peter asked Jesus, how serious is Jesus about mercy? I'm going to show you. Peter asked this question like this. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Doesn't that sound just like one of our questions? All right, Lord, how many times? Why do we want to know how many times? Come on, talk to me. Y'all can talk. Listen, there's plenty of sit and stare churches in the county. Exactly right. Because on the eighth time, what am I going to do? I'm going to clobber you. How many of y'all would be like, come on, two more times. Two more. You're at number five. Two more times and I get to what? clobber you. That's not the attitude of mercy. Mercy says, I want you to get better. Mercy says, I want the relationship to work out. Mercy says, I want us to heal up and go on. But it requires something. Forgiveness. Forgiveness requires two things. To know that you're not God and to know that none of us are perfect. Nor do any of us hold all knowledge. Some of you are very smart, but you're not all smart. Nobody in here is all smart. How many of y'all are smart on every subject in the world? You say, well, I got an iPhone. Good. Your iPhone is not all smart. Siri won't tell you everything. She'll even give you the wrong number sometimes. She ain't even perfect. You know why? Because an imperfect person programmed Siri. How many of y'all get mad when your computer doesn't work? I do. I even get mad now when it's not fast enough. And I remember this. I used to be amazed when a computer did this. And a picture would come up. 30 minutes later, look at there. There's a picture of Grandma on the computer. And now if it doesn't happen right now, I'm what? Throwing this away. Should work better than this. I want things instantly. I'm telling you, it's caused us some great problems. Our instant mentality. Chris, no jokes aside, there are people that get mad at you when the weather changes. I've heard people, and I'm not going to tell you who it was. They're not here today. But I've heard people cuss you when it snows. Like you can make snow. Or you're supposed to go, leave the Bowling Green area snow. And it listens to you. It don't work. We don't control all we'd like to think we control, do we? But hold on, when we come to that reality, now we get to live in forgiveness. How many times? Peter came to the Lord Jesus and he asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother's sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. Well, we're not there yet. That's what Peter said. I'm telling you what Peter said. Up to seven times. What was Peter following? A regulation.
Yep.
And here's what I want you to know. If you regulate a relationship, you will never have one. If you regulate, did you get that? This may be one of the few original things that I ever speak. If you regulate a relationship, you will never have one. Because relationships occur when people are set free, not when they're confined. Rules don't create relationships. Grace and mercy, forgiveness makes relationships. Well, Jesus answers the question quite well. Guess what he says? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70. What? 70 times seven. You know what that means? You know what that really means? The number's irrelevant. You know what Jesus was saying? You gotta forgive them more times than you are capable of. So now who's gonna do the forgiving? Not me, but Christ in me. See, there's a deal to this living out the faith. Our job is to breathe in Jesus, but then in our relationships do what? Exhale Jesus and practice a relationship. Something that needs to happen in our world today is forgiveness. Because guess what happens? In forgiveness, people will start telling the what? Truth. And when you start telling the truth, guess what kind of life you get to live? Freedom. And in freedom, guess what happens? Things grow and get better and look more merciful. We do it quite opposite. And hear me, this is a warning. The more you want your way, the more death you will bring into your life. Because we're not capable of bringing life. Jesus brings life. How committed is Jesus to forgiveness? I'm going to end on this today. Some of the greatest words in Scripture. They're all great. These are some of the greatest. Jesus is being crucified. Why is Jesus being crucified? Because we have what? Sin. And Jesus is being crucified. Think about this. He's being crucified. Now think about this for a minute. If Jesus acted like you, would he have stayed on the cross? First of all, he's been unjustly accused. Most of you would be on a social justice campaign because it wasn't what? It was not fair. What happened to Jesus was not fair. It was unfair. It was not equal. So we have inequality at work here. There was no mercy in it, so it's unmerciful. Jesus falsely accused. One of the commandments is being broken. Do not bear what? They bore what? He's been beaten unjustly. Physically abused. Stripped naked, walked down the Valle de Rosa. Beat to an inch of his life. And he hangs on the cross. And these are his words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That takes heaven. I wish I could tell you that if that experience had happened to me, that's what I would have said. I got a hunch not. If I was hanging on a cross, I'd have said, Daddy, start over! They're nuts! They're nuts! Bring the fire! Cook them! They have nailed me to a tree. They have beaten me to death. They have lied about me. They have said all kinds of false things about me. They have ignored your healing. They have ignored you. But you know what Jesus says? Because he actually embodies what he speaks. Crazy, Alex. Father, what? Forgive them. For they know not what they do. You know what I say? Still don't. And God still says what? Forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown. So I want to leave you with this as you live out your faith on a daily basis. You ready? How many of y'all can live by this? Look at each other. If you're near your husband or your wife, say this. When in doubt, forgive. 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 And I want to tell you, I've done it both ways in my life. I've sought even, and it's never even, John. I want to tell you something, man. Be careful with this. It's killing us. Nobody wants to talk about it, but it is killing us. Anger is killing us as a people. We're an angry people. We're angry. We're mad at each other. Listen to us. Jesus was never angry. He said, what about that temple thing? It was merciful anger. Jesus didn't harbor anger. Because guess what anger does? It leads to bitterness. And when bitterness takes a root, we don't forgive anymore. And then we won't be shown mercy. And we get at odds instead of get together. Y'all see how that works? Ladies, don't expect your husband to be perfect. When he does stupid things, there's a reason for that. He's a husband. Somebody should have told you that up front. Husbands, do things and give unto your wife and give her things that don't make absolute sense to you. She responds to these, why? She's a wife. Love her as Jesus loves the church. Church, I want to thank you because guess what? Hillview, you've learned mercy. But I want to bring it up because we got to keep going. Part of mercy says this, welcome. And I've heard this a lot. Well, even Jeremy, I'm going to share. Jeremy looked and he said, well, I'm nervous. I said, that's okay, big boy. You're nervous about the right thing. What God's doing in your life is forever. And the reason us big macho men, we get all tore up about God, because guess what? We can't intimidate him. We can't whip him. We can't control him. He's God. And he doesn't listen to me, thank goodness. How many of y'all glad God doesn't listen to you? You know what I'm glad about? God doesn't listen to all these new preachers telling God who he can save and who he can't save. You know what? They hadn't figured God out either. They tickle me. They go, Pastor Ayers, I have an intellectual faith. I said, yeah, I read that all over the text. Jesus said, I've come to give you an intellectual faith. Is that what he said? See, it amazes me. Jesus was crucified and resurrected, and there was never a seminary. And I can talk like that because I got all my alphabets. And let me tell you how impressed I am with all those. Not. It's a bunch of men talking. Then there's this God who happens to be 100% human and at the same time 100% God. And he says crazy things like this. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown what? Mercy. Now I want you to get this attitude. We need a merciful movement. That God's grace and mercy might so invade humans that they would be forgiven and begin to love instead of get even. They would begin to see that God is a God that creates new life instead of one that makes old lives just. God is a God of mercy. And boy, that makes us angry, doesn't it? Because, Kurt, we might say this, that's not fair. We become like the older brother in the prodigal son. How dare you, Daddy, welcome this son of yours who has gone out and lived in wild living, and he comes home and you kill the fatted calf, and here I've been here working every day like I'm supposed to work, raising my kids like I'm supposed to raise them, reading my Torah like I'm having morning quiet times in the Torah, being a good Jewish boy, and you welcome this renegade with a party, and you don't even kill a goat for me. Now, if you really look at the prodigal, there were two lost boys. One lost at the house and one lost in the world. I preach to both of those sons every Sunday. Some of you lost in your religion and others of you lost in the ways of the world. Still the same tree. The tree in the middle of the garden. Good and evil. Don't eat from the tree. Another tree that came to us, the tree of life. Live in it. Blessed are the merciful. How many of y'all need to get your mercy on a little better? Anybody? Anybody could work on that and say, God, make me more merciful. Lord, let me practice forgiveness more than get evenness. Some of y'all have horrible marriages because this is the way you live your marriage. Well, I did this. Well, whoopity-do. You were supposed to. You don't get a reward. When you become an adult, you ought to be potty trained. You shouldn't get a smiley face for going to the potty. You're an adult. We should be over that. You should love as a husband and love as a wife and love as a parent because that's what you do. Not because you get a reward. It's who you are. My mom never looked at me and said, are you going to thank me for being a loving mom? No, I'm a kid. We don't do that. We just live in the presence of what? A loving mom. And then eventually we grow up and go, oh my goodness, I've had a loving mom. You know why I had a loving mom? She wasn't seeking her reward. She was giving out her Jesus. So today, here's what I want to call you to. Live out the faith that God has put in you. Merciful. Make sense? What? Merciful. Got it? All right, let's stand together. We're done. Y'all did great today. Give yourselves a hand for listening well today. Here comes the tough part. This is the tough part. Now we got to live this out. Forgive one another as he has forgiven us. Love one another as Jesus has what? Loved us. Man, that's tough. And so I'm going to invite you today. Guess what? There are going to be some people get saved today. How many of y'all excited about that? If you never, I am too. You've heard about mercy today. Now, if you were sitting there in that chair today going, man, can God forgive me? I want to answer that question. Yes. Say, Pastor Steve, you don't understand, man. I've smoked stuff. God can forgive that. Well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I ain't been to church. What's this? That may be good. You might hear me clearly. All of us have sinned. If you don't mind, just to help people out today, if you would just look around you behind you and go, I've sinned. If y'all don't mind, would y'all do that and just tell it? I've sinned. Okay, now, hold on. I don't do that to embarrass you. I don't do that to embarrass you. I know some of y'all hate to have to admit that you've been wrong at least once. But hold on. Here's the reason I do that. You know what? There's some guests today, and they've come to church, and they've never been around church. And guess what people that have never been around church think about people that go to church? They think we're good. What a laughable moment. They think church people don't struggle with the same stuff that everybody else struggles with. I wish they could just do a ride along with me for a week and I'll show them all the things that go on in a church. And here's why church has, hey, that's why I don't buy this stuff from people. Well, Pastor, I'd go to church, but there's hypocrites there. I said, Lord, have mercy. I said, go get a new argument. That's a 1970 argument. I said, and here's how weak you are in the argument. You go every other place, there's hypocrites. There's hypocrites everywhere. There's hypocrites at Dairy Queen. Hypocrites at the ball game last night. They're just hypocrites. Make sense? Elizabeth married a hypocrite. We all got that in us. It's called humans that need grace and mercy. So today, here's what I want you to know. We're all sinners. And some of you today, if you will come to this conclusion, let the Holy Spirit show you the truth. You're a sinner that needs mercy. So what do? I ask Jesus Christ to forgive me? Try it. I wonder what would happen if Jesus Christ forgave me. You'll be recreated. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need you in my life. See what will happen. Lord Jesus, come into my what? Life. I believe you died on the cross and risen from the grave. That'll change you forever. There's a pastor, it can't be that easy. It wasn't. It took God coming here in the form of Jesus, 100% God, 100% human, dying our death, and 3 days later coming back to life by the power of God so that you and I might have a connection to heaven. Nothing easy about that. But possible. What? Possible. How many realize that anybody could be saved in here today? That blows me away. So today I hope you'll be open to God's grace in your life. If you've never been baptized, it's a great time to step up and say, you know what? I'm going to claim to follow Jesus Christ and I'm going to do what Jesus Christ asked me to do. He asked you to be baptized. You say, why do you preach baptism? Because Jesus did. And it's serious. Some of y'all got the same baptismal argument that I hear when, well, Pastor Harris, we're living together. We don't believe in marriage. It ain't no big deal. And I say, well, if it ain't no big deal, here's $35. Go down there and get you a license. If it ain't a big deal. But I want to tell you how we live today. It's going to tick some of you off. We want God's blessing without God's order. And that's why we don't see much of God's blessing. God tells you to get baptized. Guess what I do? God tells me to stand on my head and gargle peanut butter. Guess what I'm going to do? Stand on my head and gargle peanut butter. And they say, well, that don't make sense. Yeah, but if God says it, he'll make it make sense. Do we understand everything God asks us to do? No, he doesn't ask us to understand it all. He asks us to do it. and the understanding comes in the following. You really want to know God? You'll never learn Him in a book. You'll learn Him when you decide to do what He says in everyday life. I'd be merciful this week. How many of y'all need to be a little more merciful this week? You know, when your neighbor's dog runs in your yard, it's what? A dog, not a crisis. Be merciful. Some of you need to come and receive Christ, and I pray the Holy Spirit's bringing you right now. Some of you need to come and let's get committed to baptism. Some of you need to say, you know what, I need to pray. I need to pray for my neighbors. I need to pray that I am more merciful to people in my relationships. But we need to come and pray today. Amen. Unfortunately, I got some bad news today. It's bad good news. Chuck Lane, many of you knew Chuck Lane in this congregation. He was here for a long time. And Chuck passed away this past week. Well, he really didn't pass away. That's an inappropriate salutation. He went on living into heaven. And tomorrow at 12 o'clock noon, high noon. Sound just like Chuck. High noon. We're going to celebrate Chuck's life in Jesus Christ here. So if you want to honor that, do that, okay? Also, I want you all to pray for Tim Murley. One of our elders this morning was taken to the hospital. He's got some stuff going on. They're not sure all that it is yet. So if you don't mind, would you come pray for Tim? And just pray for one another. But I pray most of all, those of you who need to know Jesus Christ would receive who? See, I'm not worried about Chuck. Guess what? He loved the Lord. He received Christ. He's baptized. He lived out his faith. And guess what? He went on to heaven. He's good to go. But you know what? If that is an experience for some of you this week, guess what? You're not going. And it's just going to mess you up because you think God is an American. And He's not. He is God. He has laid out His message. He has given His truth. He has sacrificed Himself for grace. And that's the way you get to heaven. And He's not asking you your opinion about His message. He's asking you, will you receive it? And I think it bothers us because we want to have input. Well, if we had input, we'd mess grace up. So it's all on God. Will you receive it? Pray with me, Lord Jesus. Thank You for drawing people today. Lord, as we've talked about mercy, we know You are the great God of mercy. And Lord, I ask You to bring people who are trapped in sin to the consciousness of grace. God, I apologize on behalf of us as church in this moment of history. Lord, we've been so judgmental to people sometimes, so derogatory. Lord, we've predicted who can be and who can't be at times. Lord, our message is to preach You. That's what You said. So if you know right now Jesus Christ is drawing on your heart, you feel Him, you know Him, you're hearing something, tell Him, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And Lord Jesus, right now I ask You to come into my life, see what happens. Lord, forgive me. I promise You will. He's a merciful God. If you've done that, come talk to one of our pastors. We want to celebrate with you. Come and pray for these that have lost loved ones because that still hurts. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. It's a part of that. Come and pray for those who are sick like Tim and others that they would be healed in the name of Jesus. Most of all, come and just let God show you how merciful He is. In the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Oh, how sweet. In the name of Jesus. Come, let's pray. Let's receive Him. Let's come and be committed in baptism and healing. Come on, church, I need you praying today. This is a time for the church to be praying, not standing and staring. Pray for our nation. Pray for our city, our county. Pray for our leaders, our schools. Let's be a church that prays. And praise God, move, and God listen. Come on, church. God's speaking to us. He's speaking to us. Come on, God's speaking to us. Let Him speak to you. Thank You. Come on, God loves you. Let Him speak to you. Thank You, Lord.